You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title today is Shipping and Receiving, and it's the last one in our God at Work series, going through things that parallel from your work and things that you can find in the scriptures as well, amazingly. It's interesting to me, this whole shipping and receiving portion of a business. A lot of times, the CEO gets all the press. Or some VP of whatever gets all the coverage, or a salesperson or sales manager, or some, you know, prize salesperson who outdoes everybody. That's where it is. Let me tell you something. There are people in every company who, without whom you got nothing. And I watch companies a lot of times and watch these executive types. If you watch the way those guys interact with everybody, no matter who they are, and I think it's fascinating, if you go to a company where the person who runs the place started out on the bottom, there's a whole different attitude. Where if somebody is a hostile takeover situation, they just blow some guy in there and he takes over or she takes over, then they don't know anybody. Frankly, sometimes they don't want to know anybody. And you get the feeling, these people don't care about me. Any smart salesperson, every once in a while, for instance, one parallel with all this DISD stuff, these film crews would come through, the news crews trying to cover this thing, and you got this reporter, you know, is all dressed up, a microphone, and you watch a reporter, they come, a reporter and a camera person, okay? And what you begin to discover is that camera person controls everything. And there are too many people smiling for the camera and forget there's somebody running that camera, and if you don't treat that person well, or if the person holding the microphone doing the interview, if they don't have a good relationship with that camera person, treat them right, that person can make them look awful and put them out of business. And so many times our support people, our shipping, our receiving, these people down in the bowels of the business are the ones that make it happen, and you may overlook them. They may make your job miserable. And some of you are thinking, And you could probably come up with a list of ways to make somebody's job miserable because you've probably refined this technique. I mean, I was in a building the other day and the maintenance guy in this building, it was after hours and he was trying to move everybody out of the building so he could go home. You know how he did it? He turned the air off. He moved them out. Now, he had messed with somebody. Somebody had messed with him somewhere, and these people that are mistreated, you know, we call these people peons sometimes. Let me tell you something. Well, I don't want to go there, but it can come back at you. And a lot of times a salesman out there going and blowing, and he's not communicating with the support staff. He's not communicating with the shipping, with the receiving people, taking care of them. I mean, you watch this in professional football. Some linebacker makes $20 million a year, whatever it is now, and these linemen make $300,000 or $400,000, which is not bad money, but it's nothing like the guy they're blocking for. And all of a sudden you hear some story about, you know, the running back buying a watch for everybody on the line. Those guys up there, those bulldogs up there are clearing the way for that guy to run $20 million worth of feet through. And you mess with those guys on the line making the way, they stop making a way. You know, it's just, let's see, you get here without us, you know, go ahead. They can't. Now, if you were in one of those positions, you know what this feels like. And if you were somebody over people in that position and you started in that position and you've forgotten, I mean, that's almost inexcusable. You've gotten too big for your britches or something. And if you've never been there, I'm making a recommendation. Grab you a broom every once in a while. Go down and grab some tape and a box and help them package it up. You'd be amazed what you understand about where somebody is and what they go through by just getting down there and being a servant and doing it with them. Now, in particular about this shipping and receiving thing, there's some of these things that are no-brainer. But if a company is a distributor of something, they don't manufacture it, but even if they manufacture something, the principle is this. You have to receive something in order to ship something, right? And so that's kind of no-brainer. In spiritual terms, we forget this. And we constantly try to ship something, give something, send something, but we don't bother to check inventory. And a lot of time, our sales showroom is great, but our warehouse is empty. And we're selling stuff we can't deliver. We're saying stuff we can't come through on. Lying to the customer, the person out there. And if you've ever had a salesperson do this to you, I mean, there's a guy in the apparel business, this guy would lie whatever it took. He'd hold up a dress, say, this is on the cover of Vogue magazine. Well, the person knew, they just knew he was a liar. They just laugh at him. He'd say whatever it took to get him to buy that dress, but he couldn't deliver on what he said. Now, there are a lot of Christians who sell something they can't deliver and talk a good talk, but the warehouse is basically empty. Now, let me read you some of these passages that parallel with this. In Acts 20, verse 35, it says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, that is true. And if you've ever been on the giving end of something and seen somebody receive something, you know any day it is so much more fun to give, to ship something, than it is to be on the receiving end all the time. And frankly, if all you do is receive and never ship, you're just going to have a clogged warehouse anyway. And God has not placed us on the earth and left us on the earth to stockpile anything, grace, money, anything. And if you'll read the scriptures, you'll find out that you are given enough grace for today. And you start worrying about tomorrow, and what does he say? Sufficient are the evils for, today. Don't worry about tomorrow. You got enough grace just for today. Live today. And so you're issued what you need for today, and you get it. It comes in, it comes out, it comes in, it goes out. And God monitors that way. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But guys, you got to have in order to give. You got to get it somewhere. And there are a lot of people trying to give and give and give, and they're not going anywhere to get. They're dispensing maybe spiritual information or spiritual life of some kind, and they're not getting it from anywhere else themselves. They're not going back to the well themselves. They've got no resource or any source to pull from in the first place. Let me give you an example of this in Matthew 25. He said, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, well, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you? I mean, that didn't happen. You're in heaven. Or thirsty and gave you to drink. When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. But guys, you are not going to give. Now I'm going to tell you how you can spot a religious person or a spiritual person. Whenever a religious person does something or gives something, they are expecting something in return. Because it is about fear and guilt, it's about manipulation, it's not really giving, you got to get something back. And if I help you, well, you kind of owe me now. And they have this thing going with God, and they think, well, yeah, God loves me, but I was good this week, so God ought to throw me a bone, ought to take care of me, and he kind of owes me. And it's never just doing it as a cheerful giver, just out of the sheer joy of your heart and your life. Now, let me jump to 2 Corinthians 9 and read you another passage. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Now, he's using a farming analogy here, just sowing and reaping. If you sow sparingly, you will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. Now, it is very hard sometimes to explain this because either we don't want to get it, or we just don't get it. Even when we do get it, we don't want to do it. But if you literally take, anybody got any money out there? Everybody pull out your money. Get your money out. Get your cash out. Don't get all of it out. I mean, if you got like a briefcase full of it or something, just don't do that. Okay, I got a certain amount of money in my hand. Okay, everybody's got money in their hand, raise their hand. Okay, now if somebody will go in and collect that money. All right, now forget for a minute that it's money, and this is how I want you to look at the money that's in your hand. If you were a farmer and you had no money, but you had land, and somebody came up to you, and every one of the dollars, whatever you got, represents a seed. And without seed, you got nothing, right? Because you can have all the land in the world, but if you have nothing to plant and nothing that will produce a harvest that you can get seed from, you got nothing. So you got all this money, you got this seed. Somebody walks up and says, okay, here's 100 pounds, 100 whatever of seed. Now, you either put that in the house, or you grind it up and cook it all, which you may do some of it, but you know if you're a farmer, I got to put some of this in the ground somewhere, or I'm not going to have anything. Now, guys, listen close, because some people, this lady over here staring at, what is that, a dollar? Have you ever seen a dollar before? You just, is that your money, or did somebody loan you that money? Boy, she is looking at that dollar like, I have never seen one of these before. I'm giving you a, is this your first time or last time? It's my last time for a while, so I'm taking liberties. I might look at my seed and say, okay, I got to receive, I got to warehouse some of this just because that's the way it works. But it's kind of like you look at your land, you look at your seed and go, the way this deal works is the more I put out there in the ground, that one seed will produce a ton of seed and I got more seed. But see, we look at that dirt and go, well, what if it doesn't rain? What if the birds pull it all out of the ground? Now, see, I'm not saying it's not wise to keep some back in case of catastrophe. But you talk to any smart farmer, when it's time to plant, you get as much in the ground while you can because you know something's going to come from that. It takes faith to farm. How many of you are raised on a farm or know? Some of you are raised in a barn, I know, but that's a whole other thing. See, we don't even live in this culture. You have no idea how much faith it takes to farm. Because you're going to take everything you've got. And a lot of times you look at a farmer and the harvest in the last year, they go buy seed or they have their own seed. Everything is riding on taking that seed out on a piece of dirt, putting it in the ground, and then you got to wait. And you know who you got to trust? Not just the dirt, because it's going to do its thing, but you can't make it rain. And sometimes there's catastrophe, but sometimes it rains just when it's supposed to, and there is a bountiful harvest. And that farmer, what does he do? He can't afford to take all that in and just sit on it. He's got to put it back out there again. Now, guys, that's one of the ways your money works. Now, look at this passage. Listen to it as I read through it. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. You put 20 seeds out there. You plant some tomatoes, like 6 tomato plants. You know what? You're going to get so many tomatoes. You say, well, I wanted more tomatoes. Plant more tomato plants. You say, well, you're talking about getting rich. It isn't about getting rich. It's about being a steward of the piece of dirt you've got while you've got it. That is your warehouse, your life, these things God has given you. And he says, look, I'm going to give you some. If you do the right thing with this, I might bless you with more. But if you can't handle it, I'm not going to bless you with more because I'm not trying to make you rich. I'm trying to find a pipeline to run it through. There's this get rich thing out there. If you give your life to Jesus and do it his way, he's going to make you rich and healthy. And all that. It isn't about getting rich. If you are rich, you might stabilize how you live, and you are a steward. You say, okay, God, I got more seed this year. Give me more dirt. Not a bigger barn. More dirt. I can sow more seed now. Where do I give this? And you find places that God leads you as he puts it. It says he purposes in your heart. Find out what he wants you to do with it. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. It's no-brainer. There are biblical farming principles in here that apply to life, that apply to money, apply to anything. Now, we're not taking up a collection, so don't get nervous. Don't be sowing, you know, sparingly now. Here we go. Because I got to go on vacation and I need your help. And now listen to verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Now think about back to the shipping and receiving. You sell $1 million worth of product, it's in the warehouse, and you go, wow, if we ship that out, we don't have $1 million worth of product. They paid for it. You say, yeah, but they paid for it. If we take their money and keep the product, we'll have $1 million and $1 million worth of product. And everybody looks at me and goes, well, that's stupid. Then why are you doing it? God blesses you. And you go, cool. And he goes, okay, now we're going to ship some, right? No way. This is too neat. Look what I got. So you're stealing from the company. So you go out and go, wow, God bless me. I'm going to buy a new boat. And God starts going, oh my gosh, we really messed up here. I thought I could trust you. And so then he's got to start cutting back and getting your attention again. So God blesses you and it's time to ship. You've received, it's time to ship. And it says you give as what? Everyone purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. And I'm not saying I won't take, you know, people come to church, write a check, you know, that money pays for stuff too. But when you see somebody who gets it, because see, if you're receiving and you're shipping, you end up with a satisfied customer, and that customer comes back for more, right? I mean, guys, this is no-brainer stuff. But if someone buys something and you don't deliver on it, they don't buy anymore. It shuts you down. The whole cycle stops. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know why God loves a cheerful giver? Do you understand this? Because he is one. My little girls got bicycles. We live over near a deal called the Katy Trail. It's a 2-mile run one way and back. And they want on that Katy Trail. We got on the other night, they rode 4 miles, an 8-year-old and a 7-year-old. They kept saying, I'm thirsty. I'm like, well, we'll know where to stop. We'll get, well, you know, they're dying, but they're not stopping. So then they want Catherine to go. The only way to get Catherine on this trail is on the back of my bike in one of those little car seats. And we don't have one of those. But you know what? Yesterday, Rebecca wanted to go buy some towels or something, and I got into Walmart, and I found this seat. And you know what? I am chomping at the bit to get home and do what? Install that seat. Now, it took quite a while. And all the moments were not necessarily cheerful. But you know what? I stuck with that. I stuck with it. Was it for me? No. It was because they were all anticipating. And at about 10:30, they're all still awake. I screwed, clamped that seat down to the back of that bike, put Catherine's big old helmet that's twice as big as she is on her, put her in that seat, and we went out and went round and around the apartment driveway in the dark. Now, why did I do that? Because I'm a daddy. And when I give, it's a cheerful, I'm excited to do something for my kids because I love them. And God goes, aren't you going to get it? This is who I am. I want you to be like me. So if I put something in your heart and you purpose in your heart and I say, you know, if I've had him tell me numbers, guys, specifically, you say, well, I've never heard that. Talk to him every once in a while. I mean, I've had him say $100 right here, $500 right here. And you think, where did that come from? You know exactly what it is. And what he wants you to do is go, yes, sir. I can't wait to see what happens with this. And you're holding it in, afraid it's not going to rain. Or there's going to be a drought of some kind. You're dealing with God here. If you can't trust him, who are you going to trust? Now keep listening to this. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. That's what he's going to do for you. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now listen to verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower. Okay, see, you're talking about planting seed and harvesting. You got to start with some seed. Where do you get the seed? He says, I even give you the seed. If you've got anything, you got it from me. People say, well, I can't afford to tithe or give money to God. Let me tell you something. You can't afford not to. Well, I've only got this little bit. Give it to him. See what he can do with it. Risk it all. But I'm afraid. Let me tell you something. You better be afraid holding on to it. You are robbing somebody. You are robbing the company, the kingdom. And he doesn't take that lightly. You say, well, I don't believe it. I'll track you for the next 10, 15, 20 years. I'll show you you believe it. And I've had it happen personally. If you don't give it, he will come after it. And I've had business deals, things in my life. I can tell you guys, he got it. Somebody got it. I did not keep it. So it's better to get it out of your hot little hands before you do the wrong thing with it. Give God what is his. Do it cheerfully and trust him. Because if you don't wake up this morning, you don't go to work. And if you don't go to work, you don't eat. And if, you know, if this thing dominoes, how do you think you woke up today to even go to work and get a check? He gives the seed to the sower. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. He's assuming in this passage that you're going to do the right thing, God's going to bless you, and then you're going to keep doing the right thing. I know some people out there that got all the money in the world and you never know it. You know why? Because they are stewards. And they're wise with their money. They trust God. They sow, they reap, they sow, they reap. And they're not interested in buying lake houses or whatever it is people think is it. They are a pipeline through which God distributes, ships from what they receive, and God blesses them, takes care of them, and they have more joy than you can imagine. I know one guy in particular that does it covertly. You wouldn't know he gave a dime to anybody. I know one guy set up an account in New York one time, sent a lady $5,000 in Dallas. She couldn't have traced it if she tried. And it's a single mom, got a $5,000 check in the mail from this guy out of nowhere. You know who got the glory for that? God. You know who got the fun out of that? He did. And you watch him and monitor him, and he cannot outgive God. And it's the best way to live. Don't just receive. You got to ship. And this isn't just financially. This is spiritually. This is in every category. You can't just take in. You got to give out. But if you're going to give out, you have to receive in order to give. And the scripture says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second is liking it to love your neighbor as yourself. Let me tell you something. You can't love God unless you receive love from him first. Because if you don't have love, you got no love to give. But when you let him love you, that circulation starts, love from him to you, from you to him. Then you get full. You realize you can love yourself because he loves you. And then you start loving your neighbor as yourself. And in my opinion, the world's problem today is everybody's doing the second without the first. Your biggest problem primarily is you are loving your neighbor as yourself. And it's not very much. If you let God love you and you love him, then you got overflowing tanks where you don't get pulled down. You don't get emptied out. You stay full, they get filled, and the thing fills, overflows to everybody around you.
Richard Ellis will return in a moment to wrap up today's talk with a few final words. But first, I want to share some important information about the program. The reason we do this is to share with you the good news. When you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So if you've been on this road for a while or just getting started, let us know how we can help. Maybe you've got some questions, stuck in neutral, or even wondering how to take the next breath. We're here. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. We're here to celebrate with you too. So if this program has made a difference to you and encouraged you in any way, tell us about it. Let's keep this conversation going by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also send us an email through our website, richardellistalks.com. That would really make our day to know how Richard's talks have helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or email us through the website, richardellistalks.com. And speaking of the messages, you can find today's talk along with every message from Richard at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we really believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute to this ministry by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. We would be so grateful for your gifts. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, thank you so much for your word, for these principles. And Father, that it takes faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please you. And Lord, it's like even eternal life itself. Unless you open our eyes, we won't get it. We won't see it. And there are principles, financial principles. There are just life principles here that apply to farming, to money, to anything. And it's when we try to hold on to our life that we lose it. When we lose it for your sake, that's when we find it. And for all those out there, Lord, who don't even know you, just terrified that if they give their very life to you, you're going to wreck it. It's going to be ruined. There'll be no joy. There'll be no peace. There's no joy or peace now, Lord. What do they got to lose? Let them see that there's nowhere to go but up from where they may be right now. No matter how good it seems and successful they may appear to be to everyone around them, if they're empty, Lord, it doesn't work. Father, thank you for loving us enough to leave heaven through your Son, and that he came, lived a perfect life, died a perfect sacrifice, shed his blood on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead to give us life eternal and abundant. And I pray that anyone who doesn't know you would just simply say, God, I'm screwed up. I'm a sinner. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. I accept the forgiveness of my sins, and I ask you to come live in me and through me to change me, change everything about me and everyone around me, and help me begin to apply these principles to my life, Lord. Just basic, fundamental principles that work anywhere, anytime. Open our eyes, Father, that we can see, and our understanding that we can grasp what it is that you have for us, and that it works every time. and that you desire to bless us, but you desire to bless through us as well. And that's what we miss out on. Make us cheerful givers, cheerful livers. We pray in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.